The Academy Awards are this Sunday, and among the 8 nominees for Best Picture, 5 seem to have a distinctly political feel to them, maybe a political message. Joining us now to talk about that is NPR film critic Bob Mondello. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to have you. And, you know, the Academy Awards are all about rewarding artistic achievement. But this year, a lot of the nominees do feel pretty political as well. And I want to go through some of them, starting with Vice. Now, this is about former Vice President Dick Cheney, played by Christian Bale, written and directed by Adam McKay. And here's a scene where candidate George W. Bush is trying to persuade Cheney to accept the vice presidential nomination. And Cheney has some ideas about what kind of vice president he could be. Let's listen.
Now, maybe I can handle some of the more mundane jobs, overseeing bureaucracy, managing military, energy, foreign policy.
He just sounds like Dick Cheney when you hear him there, but
he really does.
This movie is about the Bush administration, but it really does draw parallels to the Trump administration.
Yes, and you listen, Adam McKay thinks that everything that is wrong with America today, you can trace back to Dick Cheney, and he makes a good case for that, and he makes a very specific case for it. He wants you to see things as harbingers of what we have now arrived at.
He shows that the powers of the presidency were expanded after 9/11, thanks in part to Dick Cheney.
Right, and consciously expanded, that they went out of their way to create a presidency that was stronger than the other branches of government.
There's another film in the Best Picture category that really goes after the Trump administration a little more directly, and that would be Black Klansman. This is about a real-life African-American, Ron Stallworth, who infiltrated the Colorado chapter of the Ku Klux Klan by posing as a white man in phone conversations with Klan members, including David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Here's a scene with John David Washington as Stallworth and Topher Grace playing David Duke. Stallworth has just told Duke a story about how his white father forbid him to play with a black child when he was a boy.
Well, your father sounds like a terrific man.
He was a true American. Taught me what was right.
This is why we need more people like you and me in public office. Get this country back on track.
Amen.
For America to achieve its greatness again.
Absolutely.
For America to achieve its greatness again. You couldn't get more direct there,
No, it's very specific. And, of course, there was a reason. This movie, I am hesitant to talk about the end of it because it is a very powerful moment. But this movie, there's a reason that this movie came out almost to the day, 1 year after the white nationalist rallies in Charlottesville. And it's a history not just of race in this country for the last, I don't know how many years, I mean, since 1970 when the film is set, but it's also a history of Hollywood's take on race pretty much throughout. I mean, there are scenes from Gone with the Wind, from Birth of a Nation, from Shaft, from all kinds of films. And for me, as a film buff, it's a fascinating tour through how we've been instructed to feel about race all these years. And obviously, you see the roots of where we are today in where we have been in the past. And Spike Lee is expert at drawing the parallels there.
There are a couple of other Best Picture nominees that also take a look at race in America in very different ways. Of course, the big blockbuster Black Panther, a superhero film that takes place in the fictitious Kingdom of Wakanda. It has a character, Eric Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan, who is Wakandan, but he was raised in Oakland, California, and has experienced racism all his life. So when he becomes King of Wakanda, he wants to use the kingdom's resources for a little payback. Let's listen.
We're going to send vibranium weapons out to our war dogs. They'll arm oppressed people all over the world so they can finally rise up and kill those in power and their children and anyone else who takes their side.
Bob, what do you think the political message is with Black Panther? I mean, it was a very entertaining movie to watch, but there's also a message there.
Well, Wakanda was conceived as a place where colonialism and institutional racism had no sway. And so it's a world of Afrofuturist skyscrapers, flying maglev planes, and these incredibly powerful women. And it's a society that you look at and you just marvel at, and it's gorgeous and wonderful. And you can totally understand why someone would identify with that world. It is also a society that prizes family. You see flawed fathers and uncles who have issues and things like that. And you see the response to this man who is like the nephew or the cousin or whoever who's gone on the wrong track somehow, mm-hmm. and that the whole family is trying to pull him back. That is a familial thing that will reach to all kinds of people, not just to the black audience, but to everyone who watches it. It is instantly identifiable and is a – there's a reason that this movie is so huge. Mm-hmm. Everybody can identify with the things in it.
We're going to move on to Green Book, but I need to note that you did just say that you could marvel at Wakanda, which was very well-used term there by you, Bob, on a Marvel movie. Okay, so let's talk about Green Book, which looks at the relationship of Jamaican-American pianist Don Shirley and his driver, Tony, who Shirley hires to drive him through the Jim Crow South in the early 1960s. And in this scene, Shirley, played by Mahershala Ali, takes Tony to task because Tony's hot-headedness has landed the two of them in jail.
So that little temper tantrum, was it worth it? You never win with violence, Tony. You only win when you maintain your dignity. Dignity always prevails.
Does it speak to today's political climate at all, do you think?
I think this is a movie that you could have made any time in the last 40 years, and that it is about a somewhat dated view of race. This is a Italian character from the Bronx who is shown to be racist at the beginning of the movie, and he forms a friendship with Don Shirley. So they've solved the problem of race, right? Because they've gotten rid of a man's prejudice. That isn't how that works. And I think to some extent, everybody who sees it wants it to be like that. I mean, you can't not, but it answers questions that are sort of separate from the way we experience race in this country today. And it feels old-fashioned to me.
Okay, let's talk about The Favorite. And I'm not talking about The Favorite, which is another film, but the one that a lot of people think is going to win, which is Roma. This is Alfonso Cuarón's film about his childhood that also has a little bit of politics in it. It takes place in Mexico, which, of course, has gotten a lot of attention because of the whole fight over the border wall. And then it focuses on a woman who is basically a servant taking care of a middle-class family. What do you think about this one?
Well, this is an interesting – the more you know about Mexico, the better off you are watching this. And I'm not suggesting that you should do homework beforehand, but the fact that Alfonso Cuarón is making a film about his own childhood in a way. He's depicting a family that's very much like his, but not focusing on his character, which would be the little boy in it. He's focusing on the maid who was also the nanny to the kids. Mm-hmm. And she's an indigenous woman, and she's impoverished by comparison with this middle-class family. And in the course of the movie, a lot of things happen, and there's a lot of social ferment around them. They actually depict the Corpus Christi massacre. The government of Mexico at the time was authoritarian and was cracking down on student protesters, and a lot of them were killed. And that features in a big way in the course of the film, as do a lot of other things that make you conscious of class and class differences. And, of course, there is also the fact that Mr. Cuarón, as he goes to accept his awards in a variety of places, and pretty much everybody is giving him the Best Director Award this year, as he goes around and he's accepting it, he is referring to his pride in his nation and the accomplishments of the people of Mexico. And there's no way to hear that in today's world without hearing it as an implicit criticism of the Trump administration's policies and on the border.
What do you think about the fact that so many of this year's nominees feel like they are trying to send some sort of political message?
It's funny. I went back and looked at last year to see if we could have done this same discussion of politics There was Three Billboards, which was very much a story of race. There was The Post, which was about press freedom and specifically a woman in power. There was Get Out,
which was very much
about race. Absolutely. So last year, you could totally have done this conversation about politics and what the messages Hollywood was sending. At this time of year, every year, we are talking about the movies that Hollywood thinks are important in some way. And the reason they think that they are important is that they do have underlying messages. The reason the world is interested in them has nothing to do with those messages usually. It has to do with the art of those films.
Well, I just tune into the Oscars for The Host, so I can't wait to see who it's going to be this year.
Yeah, well, that you got a problem, kiddo. I know, and the interesting thing is there are so many things that, you know, you don't have a host. You don't. For a while, they were going to give away some of the most important awards during commercial breaks. They've rescinded most of the things that they were going to do that were not good ideas. And I frankly think that if not having a host means that you don't have 18 minutes of monologue, this is a great thing. So I guess we'll see.
That's NPR film critic Bob Mondello. Bob, thanks so much.
It's been a real ball this time. She told me it can break your heart out
and put you in misery. This song, by the way, is featured in Black Klansman. After watching it, I immediately downloaded it. It's here now. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now.